Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. As Beth just said, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly radio show. With us today, as usual, we have Steve Cromer, and I'm Janice Cromer, who is the director of the group. For any non-members out there that are listening to our show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. Our association, AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share the sense of adventure and curiosity about the Loop. Our primary purpose is to share information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org. Please visit as often as you like. If you're a non-member, there's loads of free information. And, of course, we'd love for you to join. And for our members, we have a special area where there's benefits just for you. Now, most of our loopers are heading towards Lake Michigan pretty soon, and this is a must-do in order to complete the loop. We've invited Captain Gene Schnagel to be our host and guide us through this truly great lake. Gene is a harbor host, along with his wife, Kathy, for the area, and they know the cruising grounds well. During our show, please feel free to call in with any questions or comments for Steve, myself, or Gene. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. Okay, let's get started. Welcome, Gene. Thank you so much for coming today.
Well, welcome to you too, Janice, and thank you very much to you and Steve for asking me to be here today. I've been looking forward to this.
Well, many of our loopers feel intimidated by Lake Michigan. After they've been through all the locks in the Canadian waterways, you think they'd be used to anything, but the big water of Lake Michigan does intimidate them. What are the water levels right now? I know last year we had some problems.
That's a very good question. Keeping in mind, Janice, and I agree that I've been told this throughout the years, many of the loopers this is the piece of water that they dread the most. And I think a lot of it has to do with the history of the lake in a lot of stories. But Lake Michigan, we've got about 1,638 miles of shoreline. And you're talking a body of water that's about 19,000 square miles of surface water. So it's a pretty large lake.
Huge, huge.
If you want to call it a lake. Throughout history, the lake has had high and low cycles. And I know right now, I see it every day. I just looked at one in the paper the other day, an article on what's causing the problems, and I think there's as many theories out there right now as you can probably find anywhere. Everybody has an idea of what's causing it, and yet nobody really knows what to do. But we do know one thing, and that is that the water's been down now for quite a few years. So I took it on my own yesterday. I decided to call around and just around the lake to see what the boaters can currently expect to find. And actually what I'm getting is good news. I was talking to the United States Coast Guard, and their sector headquarters for Lake Michigan is located right here in Milwaukee. And I see these guys quite often. They happen to know I have a coffee pot on my boat, so I get a Coast Guard pulling up to my stern all the time. But in talking with them, they're not seeing any in or experiencing any problems right now due to low water levels. The lake is down a couple of feet, but it is actually starting to come up. Now, I know personally, because I just looked at it this weekend, the depth at my boat in McKinley Marina, which is the main harbor in Milwaukee, I have 9.5 feet of water. So that will, we can take just anything in there. And we have some very large vessels currently in the marina. And there really is no problem. The water has slowly been coming up.
So the marinas on the shoreline are okay, too. It's not just the lake in general, but I know we had trouble last year with the marinas having to close because there was no access.
Well, a lot of the marinas were historically not dredged properly.
Uh-huh.
And a number of them have gone through a dredging process over the last couple of years and taken out all the silt that's built up over gosh knows how long. And now they're seeing good depths with the water coming back up slightly, plus the dredging. The marinas seem to have cleared out very nicely. Now, I talked to Charlevoix, which is a must stop on the Michigan side of the lake, and Hal Evans, who is the harbor master up there. I talked to one of his staff, and their only little problem area up there is their A dock. It's the A dock, and they currently have 6 feet of water there. So if anybody came in with a sailboat and had a concern, they have plenty of other anchorages and areas where boats can pull in. So they're not seeing any problems. I talked to Saugatuck, another beautiful stop on the Michigan side of the lake, and the harbor master there told me that they are currently, the channel coming in, which is a river, when you come off Lake Michigan, is clear. The channels are well marked. It's when you get into the interior lake, that has never changed since I've been boating. If you stay to the banks, either the east bank or the west bank or the north or south bank, that will just stay along the edges. You have plenty of water. The center of that lake is a big shallow bowl. So if you have a deep draft vessel, just don't go out in the center. Yeah, but the marinas are all clear. The water's up. They've seen an increase of approximately 10 inches.
Great.
And then I talked to the Chicago Columbia Yacht Club, who are good friends of Looper's. And I called down, and Columbia Yacht Club, they're up the same. They're up about 10 inches from last year, have no depth problems, and they're not aware of any obstacles in the area. But I guess all I would like to say to the listeners is that the rule of thumb still applies, and that's if you're heading to whatever port you're intending to head to, is call ahead. Just take a little precaution and call ahead, and just see if there's any up-to-date local knowledge that you're not quite aware of, and it can save you a lot of trouble. The other thing is, remember on your charts and on your chart plotter, those depths indicated are not true depths now, so you're going to have to adjust for those. So probably you're going to have to knock a couple of feet off those depths indicated on the charts.
The chart. Okay, well, that gives us a little bit of comfort as far as getting through and getting into our marinas. The other thing that I know really intimidates our boaters is the weather on Lake Michigan. It can change extremely quickly, and it's a big, big body of water. What sites do you use to monitor the weather, or do you just eyeball it?
Well, I suppose we could say we all do the old thing. You get up in the morning with your coffee and look out, and if it's raining, go back to bed. But there is a site that I prefer, and I use it. I even used it this weekend on my boat. The National NOAA has a site for the it's called the National Data Buoy Center. National Data Buoy. And this site, NOAA has data buoys set up all over the planet, the whole world. These sites exist. And you can go live at any time, pinpoint a particular region you're interested in, zero in, and in my case, in Lake Michigan, they have weather reporting sites completely surrounding Lake Michigan. Just pick the one that you're interested in and click on it. Also, they have two floating data buoys, one at Mid Lake, the Mid Lake South End, one at Mid Lake North End, which will give you actual wave height, constant information. As I'm speaking to you, I'm going to pull this up on my site here so I can read it to your listeners.
Sure.
But the site they're going to want to go to, and I'll give them that site right now, is www.nddbc.noaa.gov. And by going to that site, you'll be able to pick up that information live, hit on that data buoy, and what it's going to pull up for you is it'll give you the wave height at that location, it'll give you wind speed, it'll give you water temperature, you know, everything you'll need. It'll give you the latitude and longitude of that buoy, and everything will be up there for you so you can take a look at it before you proceed on a cruise that day. So,
great. Okay, well, that's very, very helpful. Jim, why don't you take us down the east shore of Lake Michigan and put an emphasis on places to visit and things to do and provisioning, the things that you know our loopers will need along the way.
I hope this is about a 12-hour broadcast today. when you're talking about things on Lake Michigan, I found historically the boaters that come into the lake want to get through it, tend to want to get through it as fast as they can. There's that fear factor. Oh, my gosh, we're going to get caught in gales, and oh, it's going to get nasty. And so they, how fast can we get to Chicago and get off the lake?
I'm going to interrupt you for a minute. I know this is super important, and it's very, very critical information because everybody goes down Lake Michigan. Please take the time you need to cover it, and if your schedule is free, we can pick up again next Friday. I'd rather do it in-depth and not rush you.
Not a problem, but my point, Janice, is that this lake is nothing to be feared. It's like the Gulf of Mexico. It's like the Chesapeake Bay. It's like Lake Huron. It's a big body of water. And if you do your homework, just take it slow and check out your weather. You have no problems. Little things always come up, but what the heck? We're boaters, and we all experience that. So with Lake Michigan, with 1,600-plus miles of shoreline, there is so much to see. And I would suggest to the boaters that we take and slow down. When Kathy and I did the loop, we tended to think like Lake Michigan boaters. Get up and go. Go fast. Get to the other side. And then it didn't take more than a couple days, and we slowed down. And pretty soon, even with a big power boat, we were cruising right along with the sailboats. And 9 to 11 knots, that was about it for the whole trip. We just laid back and smelled the roses. And that's what this trip is about to me, is smelling the roses. Now, in saying that, on the Great Lakes, there's not a port that you go into that you can't find something of interest, something of historic value. And in answer to your original question, I'm just going to touch a few of the places because there's just so many, but naturally, when you enter Lake Michigan, at the very top, the first place you're going to stop is Mackinac Island, and everybody wants to go to Mack, and that's a perfect place to stop because you can clear customs there. And when you're coming back stateside, it's also a great place. There's no motor vehicles on the island. You can walk around. You can take a bicycle. You can go in a horse cart if you wish. But there is so much to see, and it's laid back and slow, a lot of fun. And then coming down the east side, you're going to hit port after port after port after port on the Michigan side of the lake. And the first one I would touch on would be Charlevoix. Now, this one, the captains, they're not going to like it too much, basically because the admirals are going to go crazy. The shops are beautiful. And the ladies on the trip are going to love it in the sense that it has beautiful little quaint shops, and they're all right at the water.
Sounds like my kind of place.
It's you walk half a block, and you're right there in the restaurants, the shops. And for the captains, it's great because they don't have to really walk anywhere. They can sit right there on the water. It is a beautiful community. The people are great, and we love it up there. When you leave there, you're going to head south down that shoreline, and you're going to come up to Frankfort, Michigan. Now, Frankfort is another great little place, but it's also the crossing place for Lake Michigan. And I'll come back to that later, but if you're going to cross, that's the point to leave from. And it's the narrowest spot on the lake that'll get you over to the Wisconsin side. And so I'll come back. But again, all the little shops, everything is right there directly on the water. You just step off the dock and up the couple of steps and you're in town. And I've been told, and they say they've got the best ice cream on the lake, but I think a few other places will argue that. And then you head down to Ludington. And Ludington, Michigan, is the home of the SS Badger. Now, this is an interesting thing. We here in Milwaukee, we have a high-speed ferry, the Lake Express, that runs from here over to Muskegon, Michigan, and back. And it does it in a couple of hours. The SS Badger is one of the original old coal-fueled car ferries still in operation. It's the only one on the lake still in operation. But that's the port where it crosses over to Manitowoc in Wisconsin. You also have Dune State Park and Big Sabal Lighthouse. Now, you can take the trolley right from the dock area. You hop on a trolley, it'll take you right out to Dune State Park, and it's like being in the Sahara Desert. It's nothing but massive sand dunes, beautiful park, and then right to Big Sabal Lighthouse. And you can tour around out there. It's a lot of fun. And then you head down the lake a little farther, and you're in Grand Haven. You know, Grand Haven's a little bit bigger community. You come in off the lake on the river, and you have one of the U.S. Coast Guard stations there. It's not uncommon to see the icebreaker tied up there. And you can take and dinghy up the river, and there's lots of little places along the water to stop for a bite to eat. And they always have some sort of big event going on right down at the entrance into the harbor. That's the lakefront, and the locals come there for their big events. So yeah, it's a good place to pull into. Excuse me. And then you're
going
to come down.
Jane, if I can, I'm going to interrupt for a minute so that we can have
please.
A commercial from our commander sponsor, Pantaneous. Give us a minute, please.
What makes Pantaneous America's yacht insurance special? Pantaneous America provides coverage and flexibility without any hidden or implied warranties. Licensed in all 50 states, Pantaneous America offers unparalleled service through our international network of offices. Pantaneous America allows for extremely liberal navigational limits. Pantaneous America's experienced worldwide claims staff is there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. With no deductible for fire, lightning, and total loss claims, Pantaneous America is always by your side. Call or visit us today and ask about our special offers for Great Loop Cruisers. 914-381-2066. Pantaneous America is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Thanks, Beth. Okay, Jane, why don't you pick up?
Okay.
Thank you.
The next one I'd mention, Janice, is Saugatuck, Michigan. And this is probably one of the most popular little communities on Lake Michigan, at least for boaters. But it's an art community, and everything is directly on the water. It's very sheltered. You head back up the river to get to the harbor. And located there is a number of large marinas and Singapore Yacht Club. And there is anchorage in the center of the lake there. So boats coming in, if they decide to go on anchor, that's a good spot to anchor in, and it is protected. The art shops draw a lot of people from Chicago area, and this place gets packed on the weekends. Everything's within walking distance, and it is just plain a lot of fun, and we love it there, the large boating community. South of that, at the very near the bottom of the lake, is South Haven, Michigan. Again, it's a nice, quiet ride up the river to get to the harbor, and this particular area is beautiful shops. You might run into a few celebrities that you know from the local TV or TVs and movies. A number of them have their boats there, so it's a good place to hang out. And then you get to Chicago. Now, we're crossing around the south end of the lake, and when you hit Chicago, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. There is 1,000 million things to do in the city of Chicago. The main thing is that you're right, if you anchor at like DeSable Marina, any of the marinas close to Navy Pier, everything's within walking distance. You can walk right over to Navy Pier. There's just so much activity there. You've got the museums along the lakefront, and the cab ride in Chicago is actually pretty cheap. So, and you can take the cab anywhere you want to go. So Chicago's a must to spend a couple of days in at least.
We'll probably do a separate show just on Chicago. There's just so much to do and see there, but it's great that you could touch on it, Gene. Thank you.
Oh, it's got a life of its own, Janice. And then I'm going to go back up the lake. I'm going to go all the way back up to Frankfort. And if we cross from Frankfort directly over to, say, Washington Island, which is over, Washington Island is right at the top of the Door Peninsula, you're talking a distance of 58 miles to cross the lake. But then you're talking another trip from Washington Island down to Door County. We like to cross from Washington Island when we did the loop, and other times when I'm just crossing the lake. I'll go from Frankfort, and I'll cross directly over to Sturgeon Bay, and that's a distance of about 79 miles. Again, I watch my weather window, make sure that I've got nothing predicted and everything looks good, and I'll head out. Now, there was one time when I headed out, and I did. Gales tend to blow up pretty quickly, and they're small cells. They'll come up, and a captain watching his radar, you can actually see these cells, and I've done this in the past. I've actually maneuvered right between two of them and never got any water on my boat, even though I see lightning on both sides.
Had to be scary.
Well, it's not really, because you're watching, and the water's still calm and flat. It's just they're storm cells. So just be alert and watch your radar and keep that radio on and keep listening. And you shouldn't have any problem. Now, I crossed to Sturgeon Bay, but one time in storms, I actually cut just a little bit south, and you can go directly into Manitowoc, Wisconsin, too. Both of these are large ports with large harbors, and you'll be perfectly safe there. So let's take the Wisconsin side of the lake for a second, and we're going to swing over, and we're going to head straight north to the very top of the lake, and we're going to hit a place called Beaver Island. And Beaver Island's actually in Michigan. Of course, they like to argue back and forth about that, but it's extremely rustic. This is nature at its best. It's got a nice port, and it's about, you can either go directly from Mackinac Island, which would be a run of about 45 miles to Beaver Island. Or you can, if you're in Charlevoix, you can cut back north a little bit, and it's about 32 miles from Charlevoix. Yeah, it's a good
port.
But
you do have an option of a shorter trip to cross the island, to cross the lake.
And doing it in chunks. You'd have to, yes. You can take and go across the top and take it in short pieces. But actually, it's going to end up being a little longer, but it's in shorter pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So now you get over to Washington Island, and Washington Island is about 69 miles from Beaver Island. So You're going to, if you go up to Beaver Island, you can spend some time. Then you've got a 69-mile run to Beaver Island, and then you've got another 29-mile run from Beaver Island down to the top of Door County. And Door County Peninsula extends all the way up towards the top of the lake, and on the west side of that is Green Bay. And I don't have to probably tell everybody, if you go to the bottom of Green Bay, you're in the city of Green Bay, and that's the home of the Packers.
Mm-hmm. And, I know that.
Yeah, well, I know people who don't. No, I'm kidding. it's the home of Lambeau Field, and if anybody had the time on this trip, I would make that a must-stop to go to Lambeau Field. Its history of the football in this nation. I'd even try to make one of the summer games if you could. It's great. It's great to see you've been there. So let's go back to Door County. And at Door County, you're going to, on the Green Bay side of that, you're going to, if you go across the top of Door County and come down, there are numerous small fishing villages all along the coast of Door County. They all are protected little harbors. They're small. They're little communities, everything within walking distance. It's just a fun place to be. And there are some concerns that I'll cover later on cautions, but it's a beautiful place to be. Another way to get there is go to Sturgeon Bay, and Sturgeon Bay, when you come across Lake Michigan, you hit Sturgeon Bay, and you go straight through the channel. And that is a shipping channel, goes right over to Green Bay. So it cuts Door County in half. And that's a shortcut to get into Green Bay, and then you just turn south and head towards the city of Green Bay. Sturgeon Bay itself has just about everything you'd want to see. It's a nice-sized town, a city. It has the shipyards there, and you'll see a lot of ships being built. Another quick stop is to go straight, if you go over the top of Door County, you go to Marinette, Wisconsin. Marinette is the city where the new military ships, the Latour fighting ships, littoral fighting ships are being constructed. They also build the Staten Island Ferry up there, so you might even see a big orange boat sitting around. But it's Marinette is another beautiful city to visit. Now, when you come down the outside coast of the lake on the Wisconsin side, you're going to hit port after port, like Sheboygan, Port Washington, all these cities, Two Rivers. They all have nice harbors, nice marinas. They've most of them are brand new, just recently redone and rebuilt. And that's going to take you down all the way down till we hit Milwaukee. Now, Milwaukee is my home port. Milwaukee has everything you'd want to see, the Art Museum, the Discovery World, everything, Summerfest grounds. And every week during the summer, Milwaukee has some festival going on at that Summerfest grounds. And they are ethnic festivals. There'll be German Fest, Irish Fest, you go on and on and on. And you'll always have something within walking distance of your boat, a big festival, and lots of music and lots of beer. So, great place.
I think Steve would love it.
I would.
I think Steve would live there. Knowing Steve. But, it's a beautiful place. Another thing to do in Milwaukee, though, is to take your dinghy and dinghy right directly from the outer harbor up the rivers, and you go right up the Milwaukee River, and you're right downtown Milwaukee. And that'll take you right through the city itself. All the restaurants have piers, public piers, to stop for a bite to eat. The breweries, the small breweries, are all along the river. You can go from one to the other and sample different types of locally brewed craft beers. So it's really a lot to see in Milwaukee. Now, Oh, also, one other thing. If when coming to these cities, I'd like to recommend to the boaters, if they are yacht club members in their home ports, remember that most of these yacht clubs, like Milwaukee, like Chicago, Columbia Yacht Club in Chicago, the Chicago Yacht Club, Saugatuck on the Michigan side has Singapore Yacht Club. All these are nationally registered yacht clubs. If their club is nationally registered too, they do have reciprocal agreements, and you are perfectly welcome to participate in their activities and stop in and use their facilities. They'd love to meet you.
Fantastic.
And that goes, Kathy and I have experienced this up in Cape Cod. We've experienced it in Florida. We've experienced it in California. And the club members love to have you visit. So keep that in mind when you're on the loop. You can use that membership you have.
Uh-huh.
Typical. A lot of them, I found out, just the fact that you are a looper on America's Great Loop, even if you're not a yacht club member, they would still like you to stop.
They still would welcome you. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, so it's just a matter of just saying hi and here's who we are, and they, chances are they'll invite you in. So keep it in mind when you're traveling on the water. Okay, so that's just a sample of what's going on around the lake. There's just so much. I think this idea of hurry up and get off the lake is causing a lot of people to miss out on things.
Gene, we're just about out of time, but I do have two questions that maybe you could address for our loopers. Actually,
please.
Three. It sounds like the popular towns are very, very popular. How much in advance, because you just never know with a boat, do you need to make a slip reservation? And do you need to make a reservation?
Do you need to make one? No, but I have found. But out of caution, I always do, because if there's a large event like this weekend, I'll take last weekend. Last weekend we had the air show here in Milwaukee.
Hugely popular.
It's right on the water. There was not a slip to be had anywhere. Boats were here from all over the lakes, and it was packed to the hilt. But if you're traveling, Kathy and I did this. We always called ahead in anticipation, and they would tell us, don't worry about it, we'll have plenty of room, and that was fine. And making a reservation, always make sure that there is a cancellation policy.
Yeah.
Too. So you notify them if you get stuck or can't make it. So
we found that marinas so appreciate it if you do cancel, if you can't make it, call and let them know. It's just a courtesy. And a lot of our loopers don't think to do that, unfortunately.
Oh, I agree 100%, Janice. It's always paid off. And that courtesy comes back in credit later on when they remember you when you do get there. And
now, places to provision. Car rentals, is it downtown? Most of these little towns sound like there's quaint shopping. But can we provision our boats, the heavy-duty supplies?
That's a word that you're probably never going to use on Lake Michigan. Every community has the local grocery shops.
Right.
The smaller ones have the local markets, farmers markets. You can get fresh produce. And the big city, when you get to Milwaukee, Chicago, whatever, sometimes the big stores are a little farther away, but you have something called the Harbor Host. And you make a call, and we'll be happy to spin over and take you out to get whatever you need and get you settled in.
Thank you for mentioning that, Gene. Sometimes I forget, and the Harbor Host is just a wonderful, wonderful program for our members. I know Muskegon, I believe it's Jim Allen. I know we have loads of Harbor Hosts. You can find the Harbor Host on our webpage, members only, Harbor Host information. There's a tool where you can put in the city and state, and we will give you a list of the Harbor Hosts and how far they are from you. So, Gene, thanks again for mentioning that. We're almost out of time. I have to be quick. Marinas, courtesy cars, is that pretty popular on the lake or not so?
You know, I really don't know the answer to that one, Janice. I haven't experienced anything with it. I can do some tests for our listeners, and I'd be happy to, but I really don't know.
Okay, they can always call ahead and find out. And the last thing I know people will probably be interested in, if you are on a budget or you just choose to, anchoring. How significant are anchor spots on the lake, east and west shores?
I did some checking just this, yesterday on this.
Oh, thank you.
What I called the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard will not answer that question.
Really?
And well, the reason they don't is because of liability issues. I understand that. So they're a little reluctant to say, yeah, I'd anchor here, and then if something happened, you know how that works. So, but, and I totally agree with them. However, in checking, in my experience, I check with some of our local, most boaters up here do not anchor out. They go to marinas. But I do have one of our, a Commodore, past Commodore of our yacht club, who is a sailboater. He's sitting up at Sturgeon Bay this morning, and I got him out of bed. And I asked him, what do the sailboaters do here, and the, you know, trawler owners? And he said, we stay in marinas.
Okay.
But you do have some, like, I'm aware of, like Saugatuck, which in Charlevoix. Most of these are on Michigan side, where you have tucked-in harbors off the main lake in small lakes. There the anchorages are fine.
Okay.
The coastline of the Lake Michigan is not adaptable to too much anchoring. If you get up in the islands on the north end, there's some sheltered harbors. But I would take and check with the locals before putting down anchor, because a lot of it is shoaled and rocky. And
well, that's important to know. I appreciate the honesty about that. I guess people should do their anchoring in up in the North Channel before they come to Lake Michigan. But I would imagine if there are anchorages, and I'll give a little bit of a plug to our sponsors, both Skipper Bob's anchorages along the Intracoastal, or the Great Loop, and Waterway Guides has a Great Lakes edition. I'm sure if there are anchorages in there, you could check it out. Gene, I think we're just about out of time. You have been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for all the information. Anything you'd like to close with that's super important?
The only thing I'd like to say is some of the listeners may have heard of Porte de Mort, which is Death's Door. Do not let that scare you. They always go, Death's Door, oh my gosh, I'm not going on that lake. Death's Door is the north end of Door County in Wisconsin. It has that name because back in the 1800s, a lot of boats went into the shoals there. I don't think any of our current boaters have been around since the 1800s, except for Steve. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. Don't let the name scare you. Just have fun and enjoy yourself. And we'll look forward to seeing those boaters when they stop here in Milwaukee.
Thank you very much. Gene, you've been great. Say hello to Kathy, Harbor Host also, and stay set, stay well, and safe cruising.
Thank
everyone,
you.
Everyone, until next week, have a wonderful week, and we'll be on again next Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, everybody.